You're listening to DC On Screen. On this episode, we are talking about the totally messed up shit that Leto's Joker did to Robin in the Snyderverse, the new DC Comics EIC, and answering your questions. All that and who the hell knows what else after this message for, insurance or...
mattresses. Or...
yeah, that. We don't know. Welcome into DC On Screen episode 618. This is the podcast where we talk about the DC Comics multiverse on film and television, give honest opinions on projects upcoming and past, and believe that every version of a property is valid, even if we really don't want it to be. If it's been released, it is fair game, so beware of spoilers, and welcome to the show. I'm David C. Robertson, and this, the useful wicker basket, who won't help my unsuspecting people of Pompeii, Jason Goss.
Hi.
I don't know if you know this or not, but wicker don't stand up to lava.
No. No. That doesn't even make a good fossil.
No.
She just goes up in flame. Have I mentioned that something I like about the intro as it normally is the part where you're like, even if you don't want it to be, and I always feel like you're tipping your hand a little bit about something that's coming up.
Yeah. No, I don't mean to. I don't think I am. I'll be honest. The only thing I ever think about is Dark Knight Rises.
Is that just a trigger moment for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's not even like, it's not even all of Nolan's trilogy. It's just Dark Knight Rises.
Just that last like 35% of it. But sometimes it seems like you say it pretty neutrally, even if we don't want him to be, and blah blah blah, almost like an announcer voice kind of thing. Like you keep the same mm-hmm. tone, and then every now and then you're like, even if we don't want it to be.
I never know what I'm going to do, man.
It just has a very different, different feel. And sometimes, depending on where I am with the week too, sometimes I'll hear you and I think I'm like, I think I know what you were getting at. And other times I'm every now and then I'll hear you say something. You're like, even if I don't want it to be, and I'm like, oh shit, I didn't hear anything. What am I in for?
Yeah, no, I...
Because as is the natural pattern of the show, I only know about 50% of what you're going to say as it happens.
Yeah, see, I rarely have a really negative reaction to anything that's coming up.
Mm-hmm. We're too jaded for that now.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I sort of just kind of feel like I'm willing to give it a chance, and I don't know that that's jaded. That might be, well, I guess in some ways, maybe.
I don't know. Is it like jaded optimism? Is that a thing?
Or just resign to, because the thing that I have to understand, and I think a lot of fans don't understand, is I'm not making these movies. I'm not making these shows.
Yeah, yeah.
My vision is not seen on the screen.
Yeah.
So I've got to get over that and go, no, buddy, this is somebody else's thing.
Well, it is what it is, and I appreciate it to this amount or not.
Right. So... but the one thing I do know I don't like is Dark Knight Rises. And that's...
occasionally it is like Batman and Harley Quinn sneak in.
Yeah, that's the thing. Batman and Harley Quinn. Yeah, that's a great example. I'll even take... I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I'm going to because it's true. I just realized I would take Dark Knight Rises over Batman and Harley Quinn.
Yeah, I saw where you were going with that and I did my own
little tabulation.
Yeah, tried to run the figures for myself. Did a little bit of checks and balances, and I think I'm on the same side with you. Yeah, I think if I had to pick one that I was never going to have to watch again, it would have to be Batman or Harley Quinn.
Oh, I mean, I'm not going to probably watch either one of them for a long time, but
yeah, there's that. It came
down to, did Dark Knight Rises have a very long sequence that was nothing but someone farting in the back of the Batmobile? No.
Like, unless it was like a silent situation and they just never addressed it, no.
Well, I don't know about all that.
Yeah, that could be somebody's headcanon that I think just shouldn't be there.
That's Schrodinger's fart, man. I don't know about all that.
Yeah, we can thankfully leave that behind into the area of useless speculation. But, but definitely an audible, unfortunate situation, yeah. Yeah, I can bail on that entirely.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So.
Or what was it, 4.5 minutes of... of like weird, kind of vaguely stripping dance action in a. I don't know. It's hard to describe.
I don't remember the stripping.
It's not stripping. It's like a.
I remember her stripping and
like then sexualized dancing in a bar.
Yeah, I don't even remember that. I remember her being at the bar and there being like a punk number or something, and that was not terrible. Like her portion of it.
Yeah, it's been so long. Maybe I remember that remembering that incorrectly. I could have sworn it was one of those moments where I'm like, Bruce, man, just have these moments in your private time. Bruce Timm, I should say, actually. Now that I've said that out loud.
I thought there was there was the thing where she, you know, strips down and has sex with Nightwing, who is all like tied up to the bed.
There was that. Yeah, there was that. Well, this has been a weird sidebar of condemnation.
No. But you know.
It's going to be one of those anyway.
Yes, it is. It is a weird episode. But look, man, I'm going to say this about Dark Knight Rises. Then we can move on. Harley Quinn, the animated series, has legitimized Dark Knight Rises for me in such a way because Dark Knight Rises gave birth to that version of Bane.
Yeah.
Without that, we don't get that Harley Quinn version of Bane. And that's too priceless to me now. It's precious.
It is. It's fantastic.
So,
and still overall, it was not my favorite thing by any stretch, but there was good stuff in there.
Yeah, I mean, there's some good stuff in Dark Knight Rises. Sure.
We should maybe just do that one day as a separate episode. Like after we spent what I feel like was probably 4.5-5 hours bashing it.
I don't think it was that long.
It felt like it. and yet for us that the time felt like moments. Maybe we should just go back and do like a, here's what we actually did like about it kind of thing.
Yeah. Maybe. I think we did that on the show, but hell, who knows? It was so long ago. It was like 5 years ago.
It's been forever since I watched it. I'd be curious about my take now.
Yeah. We have gone soft, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
Flaccid.
Yeah. There's things. I'd still be like, yeah, he went too far with the voice, or yeah, that should have caused sepsis and Jim should be dead. There's stuff I'd still be like, no. But I feel like there's probably, I think I'd be more positive if I watched it right now. But it's been 3 years since I watched that movie.
Yeah. I think it's been 5 years.
Actually, it's been five. Yeah.
Yeah,
I haven't watched it since we reviewed it. Yeah, oh God, it's been half a decade.
That's right.
Maybe it's time. Maybe it's time to go back. We'll see.
If I go back, I'm going to have to watch the whole trilogy again.
I mean, we've got like 70 days till the CW premiere, so I've theoretically have time to go back and get some reading done and watch things that I haven't had to watch for a while.
Yeah. Anyway. So did you see anything about this? Jared Leto's Joker and how he killed Robin?
Nope. Okay. I always assumed it was a crowbar based on, the images he was tweeting at the time.
I have no confirmation on the crowbar.
Mm-hmm. But what do you have?
This guy that's going by Agent Brown, Doug Stewart, he's a costume designer.
Mm-hmm.
And 3 years ago, he posted some of this, and then he posted some, it looked like 5 days ago from now. But anyway, he had a picture of one of Robin's gauntlets from BVS,
mm-hmm.
and was talking about, where is it at now? Oh, he says, a bit of detail on Robin's gauntlet. He was brutally murdered and then set ablaze by the Joker. The story had to be told in the salvaged costume on display inside the Batcave. Aging and specialty distressing needs to tell these unscripted tales that support the main framework of the film. Here we had to create a Robin suit in a matter of days, using what we had and then figure out how to modify it as well as building the support interior. It was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
But, the big thing is he was brutally murdered and then set ablaze by the Joker.
Hmm.
He was caught on fire. They threw him on fire.
Yeah.
How do you say that?
Set alight. That dude got Salem'd. No, that's... They weren't.
He lied.
No, they were hanging the witches in Salem. It wasn't. It was whatever other. The rest of the witch trials where they just mm-hmm. burned him instead.
So, and yeah, you can see some burns there on the suit. And he talked about it a little more. Not he talked about the suit. Started talking about cannibalizing the stunt bat suit. Snipped, nipped, trimmed, and tucked.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He said a Robin suit was in there. Mm-hmm. But. That's the big headline is like, oh shit, Joker burned him. So then we have Shay Lonsdale. I think this looks like it's on Twitter maybe, who posted a picture of the Robin suit and then a picture of Wayne Manor in the distance and said, if Zack and David stick with the story of having Joker brutally beat Robin to death and set his body on fire, then there's no doubt in my mind that it happened in Wayne Manor and the fire is what left the house looking like that. Another thing to think about with this, if true, is that Joker probably knows Batman's true identity, but chooses to keep it a secret as he doesn't want his twisted back and forth relationship with Batsy to end.
I love all that.
Absolutely.
It's fantastic.
It's all fantastic.
Also,
all
fantastic. Like Joker War made great use of that mechanism here recently.
Mm-hmm.
That was the big gag at the beginning was like, what if this entire time I knew his identity, but I just didn't want to pull the trigger because it wouldn't take the fun out of it. But what if I came up with a better, oh wait, that's what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. And this person named James on Vero looks like took screenshots of it and posted it on Vero and said, would it be interesting to see this. By the way, James, he's got as his avatar, that great image from the Anatomy of a Superhero book.
Oh God. I love that thing.
The Da Vinci Superman.
The Da Vinci Superman? Oh.
Yes.
God, it's gorgeous. The whole book's gorgeous. Cannot recommend that book enough. I have not finished it because I didn't want it to be over. Occasionally, I'll just go through and read a few pages, like, soaking it up. It's so much fun.
Yeah. So, James said, would it be interesting to see this? And, of course, Snyder liked it.
Nice.
So, you know, that doesn't mean necessarily that's what happened, but that's a really cool theory.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be sad about that at all.
No, that'd be cool. It's kind of fun every once in a while when, like, fan speculation, the authors have said thing are like, you know what, that's actually pretty cool canon. That fits. It's cool. Let's go with that.
Mm-hmm.
That is officially canon now.
That's officially canon. Yeah, no, I have a really hard time, like, my brain, and this is going back to, like, fan entitlement shit a little bit. Not even really fan entitlement, just
preconceptions.
Yeah, it is really hard for me to, like, overwrite that part of my brain that says Zach killed Richard. He killed Jason Todd. Like, my brain was, no, it was Dick. Stop thinking it was Jason Todd. Dave, you're an idiot.
Yeah, I get that. I mean,
because in my head and in my soul, I'm
our
like,
entire
Jason Todd
lifetime
died.
Almost, it's been Jason Todd.
Jason Todd died. Jason
yeah.
Todd died.
Yeah.
Joker killed Jason Todd.
Yeah. Unless you chose differently on the recent DVD.
Yeah. So.
What year was that, though? It was like 80. I want to say it was 86. Just top of my head, my first guess.
I do think it was 86.
So that's literally been our cognitive lifetimes. We'll call it that. Since the moment we could conceive of the letters that would form the idea of Batman, Jason Todd has been one dead motherfucker.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
And,
so.
You know, Dick's still going. I mean, they in the books, they toyed with that for a second here recently to too much, what's the word I want here? I want to say consternation. Too many arguments. It was a divisive decision.
Talk about Rick Grayson?
I am.
I don't like Rick Grayson.
Old memoryless Dick.
I'm not necessarily opposed to it. I'm not against it, necessarily. I feel like if we're doing like an alternate universe tale or something, but I get super aggravated. It's a thing. It's been a thing since I was a kid. I get really aggravated when they do any kind of story that's just like, we know that they're going to bring him back.
Mm-hmm.
But for now, here's a long, drawn out piece of crap story about how he's a different guy for a minute. And it feels so disingenuous.
I do get that. You have to buy it as part of the premise of comics in general. Mm-hmm. But I do get also that when it gets too specific, it gets frustrating in a way.
Yeah, it's just a weird thing.
It's been pretty well appropriated as canon for the most part. I mean, I don't know the fine points of Rick. Nightwing wasn't on my pull list, but the issue where the gunshot happened was part of the Batman storyline. So the Batman series. No, you know, maybe I'm wrong about that. Maybe it was like a Nightwing issue that leaked over. But anyway, that was a fun moment. I mean, it was actually a really good issue. It had this, I thought it was a fun issue because it was a really nice, like, walk down memory lane of their relationship. And it did lead to a really satisfying beatdown of KG Beast later.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Bruce leaves him, it's that line about like, this is what does he say? Like, this is my operating table and I'm the surgeon.
Yeah. That's I think from the, animated series, Dark Knight Returns segment, The Legends of the Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Episode. I'm not sure if I don't think he actually says it in the book.
Right. But he leaves the guy like so close to death that Bruce is certain he will survive, but that it will be absolutely agonizing. And it was actually really fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Made for a fun couple issues, made for a fun segment, but they have fully incorporated it now. Dick's back, baby, but he's his memory's still a bit fuzzy.
And while we're having this conversation, I just totally thought, like, oh, man, wouldn't it be cool? They're doing all these dark Batman, and we've got the Robin King. Wouldn't it be great if one of the dark multiverse Batman, there was a bit where Batman had, like, basically taken over the Earth and was a king, and then Nightwing murdered him and calls himself the Night King.
Mm-hmm.
That would just be badass.
Yeah, I could live with that. Like, the only thing stopping it is that in almost every version of the Metal Batman series, dude, Batman wins. He just constantly wins. Like, it's the major takeaway of the Batman Who Laughs, and, you know, now what is Darkest Night is not going to give. This shouldn't be a spoiler exactly if you're not reading, but more like a theme that they're hitting is that, like, when you take everything away and all Bruce Wayne wants to do is win, it's frightening.
Mm-hmm.
Because all they did was take away everything other than his drive to win and then just kind of give him, in some versions, it's, you know, the powers of this or that or whoever. In other versions, it's just him and, you know, what if this small change in the timeline happened? And, I mean, one of the recent ones was like the Mindhunter.
Fuck. Well, I can make that work. I can make that work. You could say that, you know, well, number one, Dick has been Batman in at times.
Mm-hmm. And
but
a great one.
Two, yeah, and a great one. But two, there could be like a storyline where the way they could do it would be the great tragedy of Night King is that Bruce's greatest victory was making Dick become like him.
Mm-hmm.
Just like do it in the Titans.
Yep. That actually, and thematically, that would match a few things that have shown up in the Metal series. So, yeah, you could totally sell that to me.
Yeah, so
I would be completely into this idea. I'm rooting for you. Get in touch with Scott Snyder.
You guys. Well, tag Scott Snyder. Retweet this episode and tag Scott.
I'm really fuzzy on this. Maybe somebody can help me out. It was in one of the big, maybe it was like Detective 1027, or it was in one of the big oversized issues. The whole lesson of the one of the mini stories in it was basically that I think it was like the birthday gift or something. But the whole lesson was that Dick doesn't need him anymore, and he's like, no, that was the whole plan. He doesn't need me, and that's all I could have asked for. I won't be here forever. Mm-hmm. Wish my memory is more specific on that.
Yeah, me too.
You know,
it's all right.
It would have been in like probably I want to say 1027. I really do want to say 1027, but. I'm staring at it now. It's on the wall. I'm just not pulling it down for this.
That's fair.
It's not going to happen right now.
That is our news. Aside from the fact that DC Comics today named Marie Javins as the new editor in chief.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to be co-editor in chief alongside Michelle R. Wells. And it was announced by Daniel Cherry III, senior vice president and general manager of DC Comics. So Marie intrinsically understands the power of comics and their unique ability to entertain and empower, which makes her a perfect choice to be DC's next editor-in-chief. In addition to her many creative talents, she's also incredibly committed to increasing access to this amazing industry by mentoring the next generation of comic book creators and helping them find their voices. I look forward to working with her in her new role. And they say here she will be responsible for developing and overseeing the execution of the company's annual publishing schedule to grow all DC imprints. She'll also lead the strategy for expanding worldwide consumer reach of DC publishing content and provide editorial and creative direction for DC imprints. Working closely with Cherry and Jim Lee, DC Comics publisher and chief creative officer, she'll help define positioning, character narratives, and prioritization, creative talent selection, and brand attributes of each imprint and develop publishing plans with lead editors. Now, she does, you know, say that you're the standard thing. She was little. She read Wonder Woman and Nubia and Supergirl and never thought she'd do this.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the part that I found interesting.
I never disbelieve that, by the way. Like,
no.
A lot of people read these things and never think you're going to be there. It's just...
Right. Yeah, of course. I just find it boring.
it is just like part of that kind of press release though. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. But yeah, she says that she wants to tell innovative visual stories that both reflect and expand our world, and in some cases, our galaxy and multiverse. Like, that feels like a very pointed, what am I looking for? What phrase am I looking for? That's a very pointed messaging that they continue to have in in the DC brand.
I wasn't there till you got there. I'm actually rooting you on here.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure, Dick.
So, and I thought this was cool. She has served as DC's executive editor of global publishing and digital strategy. That's important.
Yeah, I caught that too.
We know where that's going. We know where she's going here.
Yep.
Where she edited Justice League, DC Superhero Girls, Superman Smashes the Klan, Harley Quinn Breaking Glass, Dark Knight's Death Metal. So that those are pretty... She also did that Snagglepuss comic. But those it's a wide range of things.
I heard good things from people who cared. I wasn't one of them, but that wasn't in my childhood. So
I mean, I took it out because it's not DC necessarily. Not really. It's Hanna-Barbera and the Warner Brothers.
They cross over here and there. But yeah, anyway. The digital part is, it's been signaled several times. So
signaled. They have taken their dick out and is tattooed on the side.
There's been a warning shot over the bow that crashed into the bow, and a little pop-up, like Joker-esque or Wile E. Coyote style pop-up came out of the top and said, "You know what's coming, right?" I do hate to admit this, but I think like the monthly prints are we've said it a few times. I think it's a matter of time.
Yeah. I mean, if I was in charge of it, I would probably try to push it towards that way, push it towards just getting rid of the monthly books, except for probably Action and Detective.
Yeah. It may just get winnowed down to such a specific set. When they're still making paperbacks. Or even Black Label right now is still usually selling pretty well, and they have a pretty high price point on them. So I think they're overall on Black Label, I think they're actually making their money on print, which is fine. Like, when it's making money, it's making money. It's great.
Yeah.
But, you know, the you average...
premium format books, yeah, that'll work.
Exactly. But, yeah, the average, 24 pages or whatever with monthly or bi-monthly is... I will miss it. I really will. I'm going to go ahead and keep everything on my list as long as it stays there. But, it may be a limited period of time. And it's not going to be her fault if that's how this happens. It's just where things are going, and she apparently has some aptitude about how to make that happen successfully.
I can't imagine she'll do a worse job than DiDio.
He's one of those where, like, it seems like for the first couple of years, it was really doing a thing, and I think sales went up, and there was a lot of hype, and then it really went the other way on him.
Yeah, well, we're gonna start getting some good creators back who just couldn't stand DiDio, like Mark Waid. So
yeah, there's gonna be plenty. But there's people now that like Scott Snyder occasionally has said something where you're like, yeah, I don't think he liked DiDio. He's never said it outright, but he said stuff that's very close.
Mm-hmm.
And he's one of the big heavy hitters right now. But yeah, from what I can tell, all of the creators that I follow, all the writers that I follow, and ones that I don't because I looked around a little bit, they're all very excited about her. I have no reason to think there's some like conspiracy here or anything. The people who have worked with her seem to be very excited about her, and I'm just going to roll with it.
Yeah,
they should know more than I do.
I'm excited to see where DC Comics goes. Like, it's been a drastic change in leadership over there.
Yeah,
and I'm very interested to see. Like, and I'm hearing word around the mill here is that they're going to be pushing more towards individual stories from celebrated creators instead of just like cranking out the old monthly ho-hum.
Yeah.
So,
which is
and
fine.
Like trying to, I mean, and not really doing like a central universe so much as just write your story and it'll fit where we can. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. That's something you and I talked about years ago that we would do if we were in charge, where we would just be like, look, make your thing. Don't worry about it. You can grab from anywhere in the universe. There is an infinite multiverse according to our storylines. So just play. And if we do like a big event, we'll do a big event and see what fits.
Yeah. I think that's very much on board with what they're gonna attempt here? Like, so, and I think the seeds have been planted for a while, and I say that because even in canon, they've kind of introduced. Have you seen the Omniverse term being thrown around?
Yeah.
It's the multiverse. Like, there's even a recorder that. Even the multiverses are just subject to the Omniverse.
Mm-hmm.
They are literally creating an in-canon explanation for being able to do whatever they want. And it's on paper, it all fits.
Yep.
I mean, that and letting the creators kind of do what they're good at is, I mean, just good business as far as making a good story.
I'm down, man.
Yeah, I'm not hating on it. I think there's still going to be events. I mean, clearly they are. Like, they've got Future State and, you know, some Endless Winter and some other stuff planned right now.
You know, Future State is, I think, it's an inner rim thing where they were just salvaging what they had floating around from the Dio's bullshit. They're
a little bit. I think they're going to make use of it, but it is going to be a company-wide thing for a minute. There will still be company-wide, you know, directives and plans and ideas. Like, there will still be events.
Yes, I agree with that.
But it won't be... Like you said, some of the ho-humness of the monthlies is just depending on the writer and how, you know, where everything's going. Like, sometimes stuff's hot or cold, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we can get a little more hot if we just kind of let people go a little bit crazy creatively and, you know, take the chains off a little here and there. And then when there's a good, hot, you know, big event idea, tie it in. Yeah.
Here's what I think is really smart about it, though, is you can really easily create and distribute age-appropriate material.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Without having to worry about it, like, fitting in somewhere into canon. Like, yeah, here's a thing for young adults. Here's a thing for kids. Here's a thing for, you know, us 40-year-olds who want to, I don't know, watch Jason Todd blow somebody's brains out. What? Why did that come to mind immediately? I look down, and I've got a Jason Todd figure on my desk. He's holding a machine gun, and...
and probably killing some people because, you know, that's what he does.
Oh, no. I've actually got him because I like both heads. He came with two heads. He came with a Jason Todd head that's got the mask. Mm-hmm. And then he's got the Red Hood helmet.
Mm-hmm.
And he's holding – I've got him, like, posed where he's holding the helmet up like, you know, a Last Poor Yorick, you know.
Nice. Nice. Very good.
Yeah, man. So you want to hit a break and then we'll come back and do some listener questions?
Yeah.
Sure. Cool. Awesome. We'll be right back. Yeah, all right. We're back. Did you guys enjoy hearing Flo talk about insurance? I don't know what the hell happened.
Probably more mattresses.
I don't know what our ads are.
And they change, honestly. Like, they're dynamic ad pulls, so you could listen to it twice and find four different fucking ads.
I know we used to have one that was like they just kept playing that Cake by the Ocean song, and it was something I don't even know what it was about. It was just, I remember being annoyed by the song.
I get that.
All right, so I threw out the question. Threw out the invitation for listeners to send us their questions because I knew it was going to be kind of a light week.
Mm-hmm. Threw down the gauntlet. Yeah.
Threw down yon gauntlet.
Mm-hmm. Slapped thine left cheek with my glove.
It was mine right cheek.
I'm surprised I got that far if it was accurate, frankly. It does seem to be the right cheek, though. You go like across. You do the mm-hmm. backhand, right? And most people are right-handed, so.
Oh, no, I slapped my own ass. So, yeah, with my right hand, I slapped my own ass.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I do that. I don't know why.
Yep. Good luck to us all there, then.
J. Scotty St. Clair over on Twitter. These are all on Twitter, so let me just say that.
Says, with the one place we'll be visiting.
Yep, with the multiverse being all the rage these days, would you be open to live-action heroes interacting with ones from DC's animated properties a la Who Framed Roger Rabbit? If so, which live-action and animated versions of your favorite characters would be most fun to pit together? Absolutely. I've often wondered...
That's fantastic.
Within the multiverse, do if we're dealing with, like, you know, a live action situation, if they go to the Batman the Animated Series universe, does it look like live action or does it look like the animated series?
Yeah. Funnily enough, I think a lot of the animated series, if you did live action, would actually look a little bit like 66 because those streets are often very sparse.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they do a big pullout shot and then they just draw on a bunch of like headlights or something. But still, it wasn't highly trafficked.
I mean, neither was Burton's.
Oh, I know. And there's a reason, because that shed's expensive.
Yes, it is. It's funny about like the 89 Batman, because I just watched a big segment of it. Yeah, not yesterday, the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Was like, there's like no one in the streets as they're having these like the Joker's goons are chasing after Batman right. and Vicky Vale and the Batmobile, except for when they like suddenly need like the goons to crash.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's like there's nothing. Batman rounds a corner and then like the goons try to come after him, and then this like 25 lettuce trucks.
Yeah. Like, and always a damn lettuce truck.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why. Insurance purposes. That's probably why.
Probably. Also, I think it was a closed set.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that. But I thought that whole thing was soundstaged.
Yeah. I think it was. I think all the streets were.
Yeah.
Now, here's a question that I have, though.
Mm-hmm.
Because in my head, because I need aesthetic continuity. So they would have to explain why the lines of their universe got cleaner between Batman the Animated Series and the new Batman Adventures.
Mm-hmm.
Why they became more angular.
okay.
This is the kind of shit that like bugs Matt on Star Trek Universe podcast. I'm like, nope, that Enterprise don't look right. It's not the same.
mm-hmm.
Different universe. Or time travel, something.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to go like either represent it to me as live action or give me an explanation, I guess. I don't know. Or we could say that finally say that those Batman the Animated Series and the new Batman Adventures, the new Adventures of Batman, whatever the hell it was called. I always think of it as Gotham Knights.
I thought it was the new Adventures. I thought it was Batman and the new Adventures. Oof. I saw this in like, give me about 4 seconds.
Yeah.
Was it Batman the Adventure Continues?
No.
Or is that
is the name of the comic that they are doing right now.
Okay. The new Adventure. Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah. So, and you know, in the Wizard magazine where they announced it, they called it Batman Gotham Knights. So in my heart, that's what I always called it. And mm-hmm. then like when it aired, it wasn't called New Adventures of Batman or Gotham Knights. It was called the Batman Superman Hour or whatever it was. So I was just like, and now when it's packaged on DVD, it's Batman the Animated Series Volume 4.
Yeah.
So what have you? Who cares?
I have a random DVD that's like Batman Superman. And it's just a couple episodes where they vaguely crossed over.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. It's not even like particularly good branding. It's just they threw all the names on the case and said, here's 3 episodes. Great.
That sounds right. All right. So, yeah, I would be open to it. I'd be very open to it. Jay Scotty.
I'm in.
Matthew Salvatore
mm-hmm.
says, how would you like Leto's Joker included into Zack's Justice League? Anywhere they want to put him. Wherever Zack wants him, I will take him.
Also, I'm pretty sure that's going to be a part of the equation.
What do you mean? I mean, I would assume that it would be however Zach wanted him to be included.
I mean, I think one of the things we know is that there will be some form of Leto showing up in the 4 hours, right?
Uh-huh.
So the question is only like, where would we like that to be and you know, in what context kind of thing?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things that could be fun. I think it'd be a lot of fun to see, you know, given all we talked about earlier, the ruination of a Robin would be kind of fun, but
yes,
if there was just a sidebar of the formation of, you know, an Injustice League or a Legion of Doom or whatever you want to call it at the time, that might be my favorite go-to here.
I'll admit the first thing I thought of would be nightmare sequence. Oh gosh, what if Batman has to team up with Joker? This dude who killed Dick Grayson. What if he has to team up with him to stop Superman in the nightmare timeline or something, you know?
Yeah, it's not bad.
But I don't think that's necessarily what's going to happen because based on what Zach has said before, time travel is going to be the end of the nightmare timeline where Batman tells Cyborg, it's Cyborg. Which one would you send Barry back to? Okay, do the other one.
Yeah.
Because that one didn't work.
Now, if I can help expound, this would be kind of fun for me. And they've done a little bit of it. Yeah, they really have done a lot of that, actually, in the Snyder version of things to some extent. But the idea that somebody like Darkseid's on the way and Batman mm-hmm. has to resort to asking someone like Joker, like, what would you do? And him just kind of laughingly being like, well, I would do this. And that turning out to be right because, you know, he's fucking chaos embodied. It is a fun moment to think about. Just the idea that he has to actually turn to that kind of chaos and be like, I don't even know how to conceive of this. What should I prepare for? And I like the idea of Leto just laughing and just being like, oh my God, you have no idea. You're not even close to prepared for this. What I would do is this. And just like the idea of Ben Affleck looking at him and just like mouth slightly agape being like, you know what, you're right. I didn't think of any of that. You evil bastard. No, I got to go back to the lab.
If he had to team up with Jared Leto with Jared Leto's Joker,
as he's
commonly
known.
Up with him in the nightmare timeline mm-hmm. to, you know, accomplish some goal so that they can accomplish the time travel. I think it'd be really cool if he accomplished the goal, and as soon as they accomplished it, he killed Leto's Joker, mm-hmm. and like Leto's Joker just like died laughing because he got his way and Batman killed him.
Also good. If we're dealing with time travel, and especially a Flash, you have to deal with potentially, not at all hinted at, just saying if we're dreaming here. If you're, again, just consulting, using him as a consultant, hey, what would you do if you were in this position? You know, what would you do if you were the reverse Flash? Because, you know, thematically, Joker's kind of a reverse Batman. Just giving him that playbook on Reverse Flash and letting that even lead into Flashpoint. Like, what would you do if you had all these powers and were evil? Oh, no, I have a whole game plan for that.
Mm-hmm.
What would you do if you were a Speedster Flash? Oh, I'd kill him this way, you know?
Yeah.
I like to think that Joker just ponders these kinds of considerations occasionally, just because it makes me happy. What would you do if you had Aquaman's powers? Mm. Yeah.
Joker. Mm-hmm. I ponder these things.
Yeah.
Stu Little asks, what do you think Alan Scott being a gay man means for Jade and Obsidian's place in continuity? I don't necessarily think it means anything.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you look at a show like Doom Patrol, Negative Man has kids.
Yeah.
And he just, especially if they do the thing that they've been talking about or that the rumors suggest, again, I don't know how legitimate those rumors are, but if they're doing like Alan Scott's in the 1940s.
Yeah.
Yeah, he might have a wife.
Yeah.
He might have some kids. Like, you know.
No, I mean, it, like being gay does not preclude offspring. I mean, it's a crazy spectrum, and everyone's made some decisions that they later thought were not necessarily indicative of who they were completely.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can say that's a one-night stand and flavor it that way if you want to all day, but yeah, man, like being a gay guy doesn't mean you don't have like a woman you slept with for a couple days and had a child with.
Right.
That's not exclusive.
And I would be really interested to see how they would work in Rosenthorne, the mother, into this equation. Like, yeah. Is he a closeted gay man? I would assume if he was in the 40s, yes, he would be. Like, does that play a role in her eventual psychotic break? Like,
you know, graphic audio that I've referenced, I don't know how many times at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Series of them called Sleepers, which I don't know what they're based on. I can't remember the author at this point. I'm sure it's based on an author. I don't think they did many that were not based on somebody's actual writing. But in that, he's just like, he just had a relationship, and at some point that just wasn't who he was anymore. So mm-hmm. yeah, he had a child as a result of it, but that ultimately wasn't him. So that was all there really is to it.
Yeah.
She's still there, and he's still gay. That's all.
Right. I'm just saying that, yeah, there's leeway. There's plenty of leeway for Jade and Obsidian to show up if they need them to.
Yeah.
It might even be the most interesting thing they could really do.
Yeah. It's by no means an exclusive problem, I call it, or an invalidating problem.
Eli Hernandez asks, what villains do you want to see in the new Green Lantern series HBO Max has just green-lighted, no pun intended? Well, first of all, I don't believe you. I think the pun was intended.
We've all been avoiding it for some time, and we've all been falling prey from time to time.
I want to see the Red Lanterns. I want to see all the different spectrums.
Oh, the whole spectrum, yeah.
I want to see the spectrums. I want to see Kanjar Roe. Mongol. I'll take anybody. I'll take anybody. I know that's a cop out answer, but I don't feel like there's. If there's one person I don't care about seeing, it's probably Hector Hammond.
That's fair.
I feel like I've had enough Hector Hammond based just from the Ryan Reynolds movie. Like, you know, I'm good on Hector.
I mean,
I think I'm good on Hector.
It's still doable, but yeah, there's plenty to explore in the Green Lantern Corps that don't. I mean, you can dive into the spectrum. You can dive into the Black Lanterns. You can go crazy with this thing if you want to.
Yeah, you really could. You really could.
Short of that, something I want to see that's not a villain is I want to see, you know, Mogo.
Yeah.
Just
Mogo.
Yeah. Mogo. Sorry. Mogo's the pillow you put behind your neck. God, that's like, what's that, 20 years ago? Anyway.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing Mogo at all, though. But yeah, especially if I had to pick a shade, yellow, red, and orange.
Okay. What is that? Fear, anger, and avarice? Is that right? Okay. I want to see all of them. I want a season that's nothing but spectrum war.
Don't blame me. Whole freaking ultraviolet spectrum now to play with if you really want to.
Yeah. Low-key in 83 talks to us, says, what are your thoughts on the rumor that John Boyega wants to play a big screen Jason Todd? Well, I don't know how much of a rumor it is. Someone asked him someone said they wanted him to play Static Shock. He said, no, I'm too old for that. And then someone said, no, you got to play John Stewart. And he was like, well, damn, I can't play Red Hood. So, I mean, evidently it's on his mind.
I kind of like that he knows the reference, to be honest.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's in there for it. I don't mind. I wouldn't mind him playing Red Hood. The only thing that I would mind is I'd feel bad for the guy because, you know, to go from the toxic shit show that is the Star Wars fan base.
Nah, I see where you're going. That's fair.
Directly into the toxic shit show that is the DC Comics fan base.
Yeah, that would be something.
Not that I'm against it, but then to be portraying a black version of a traditionally white character. After. And DC fans do have their issues with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see where you're going. It's biting off a lot.
I'd feel bad for the guy, honestly.
Although I think he has the backbone for it.
Oh, he has the backbone for it, for sure. And I'd be just fine. Look,
in the actually, comics, it's a good point. If, given all you just said, it's something that I would be like, okay, John, we like you for this role. I just want you to know what you're up against.
Mm-hmm.
Because this, and this are going to happen. And I just want you to know that beforehand. And I think he would kind of look at you and be like, tell me something I don't know, man. Just sign me the fuck up.
Yeah, like that would be fine. As long as he understood what was going, I'm sure he does. I'm sure he knows.
Oh yeah.
But I would still feel bad.
He's not
for him.
Savvy about that like fan entitlement issue.
Yeah. But you know, here's the thing though, even in the comics, when Jason Todd premiered, he was a ginger dude.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
And everybody's then they couldn't so even decide whether he was
Bat family now.
Yeah. And they couldn't decide whether he was blonde or if he was like redheaded and then all of a sudden he was just a dick clone, man. Aesthetically, he just looked like Dick.
Yeah.
And that's where they landed. And now they can't seem to decide whether or not he's got the stripe in his hair, or they kind of keep going back to Hush. And I'm like, I don't think that wasn't him though. That was Clayface pretending to be him.
Yeah, but that's what they remember. It's what I remember. And I'm drawing him, and I've got 4 hours to get out 8 hours worth of drawing. So whatever.
Yeah. So, you know, my point is Jason Todd's had a lot of different looks. He has shifted quite a bit from time to time. And it wouldn't bother me. You know, it's a multiverse. Who the shit cares?
Yeah.
I think John Boyega is a great actor.
Yeah.
He, he did a really great job in Star Wars. I didn't have any kind of problem with him. I don't know why people were so upset. I just don't. So
another thing to your point is, like, we're talking about somebody who has openly spoken out about how his role was diminished in Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And then to go into a property where your role is, like, actively diminished as, like, again, we 35-year-old canon on our part.
Mm-hmm.
That does seem like a... Man, I mean, if he took it on knowing all that, and I think he would know all that, I'd have to have a lot of respect for him. Because there's no way the internet's not going to be mad about it, or a portion of it.
Segments of it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm all for it.
Hell, I'd just be impressed he was willing to, like, toe the load and fucking do it. And also, yeah, he could do it.
Yeah, he could do it, for sure. I mean, he could play Red Hood. I don't see him playing, like, a young Robin or anything. This is one of those he's too old things.
There's gonna be an age thing there.
And then are we talking about, is he with, like, Batfleck? Was this, like, a little interim thing that happened? We're like, what happened?
Yeah, but even, like, this all right, so,
you know, if what I'm did, saying if it was Batfleck, role, like, and
even,
like,
in the Bat family nowadays, you know, he mm-hmm. Jason Todd is still like the one who really did piss Bruce off. Like,
yeah.
Like, Dick is still there. Like you said, like we said before, he's still Batman occasionally. Tim Drake has always been, you know, pretty in line with the Bruce Wayne values of how to be a bat. And, you know, there are a lot of people that are pretty much very much on the core values of the Bat family. Mm-hmm. And Jason Todd is a giant middle finger in some ways to a lot of that. Like, he appreciates the training, but go fuck yourself. I'm gonna do it this way, and I'm gonna end people, and that's my choice.
Which it would be interesting if they made it Snyderverse and they said, okay, this was Batfleck's second Robin.
Oh, you know, it'd be fun. Maybe you're going for that. Go
for
ahead.
Me to complete a sentence.
Yep. Sorry.
To really showcase, like, that's, you know, no wonder Batman's out here killing folk and being crazy. Like, he lost Dick, and, you know, in, like, the new Bat or the new Adventures or the Adventures Continue, whatever it is, comic they're doing now. That's how they did it. There is they said, oh yeah, he was the second Robin, and dude, they, like, Bruce never had a body. Like, he just, like, he kind of went rogue, and then now he showed up again. And he's now Red Hood. So, like, if they did that, we're just like. We do, like, a flashback, and we see, like, oh, here's, you know, a Batfleck movie or something. And it's like, not only did he lose Richard, but, like, he thought he lost his second Robin, and then that bastard came back to haunt him. That might be really interesting to do.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah. The idea of the increasing violence that both Batman would – like, Batman's increased kind of – not even vengeance so much as just the, like, the absolute anger of having lost somebody he cared about, that kind of, like, that unstoppable anger. Mm-hmm. And then just, like, the new Robin kind of taking on the mantle a little bit and just being like, you know what? No, that guy got killed. I'm going to try some new shit. I'm going to pull out some guns, man. I'm not going down like that.
Yeah, I can deal with that. Anyway. Travis Hines sent us a link to a YouTube video and wanted us to answer these questions. He said, I need you to answer both questions. And it is a clip from the monorail episode of The Simpsons.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's Ralph Wiggum asks if the monorail can beat the Flash. So, no, the monorail can't beat the Flash. And then another unnamed child asks, can Superman beat the Flash? No.
No.
When he did, that was for charity.
Answer to both is no.
As has been established.
Absolutely.
I love that monorail episode.
It's good. I forgot about that gag. That was also good.
That episode was written by Conan O'Brien.
Mm-hmm. That was
so good.
Some of his most memorable work on that one.
Written by Conan, guest starring Phil Hartman.
How do you beat that?
You don't. You just don't. And also, Leonard Nimoy was in that episode.
That's fantastic, too.
Bastard beams away.
Fantastic. They even brought up the speed discrepancy in Deceased in the first, you know, the first, like, issues of Deceased before it was what is now a franchise. And one of the problems was, like, Flash gets infected before Superman does. And Superman realizes he can't actually catch him. He's going to have to run the other way. So he just runs the other way around the world. And he does He does, you know, destroy him. In fact, he pulverizes him. But at that speed, it actually, like, some of Flash's, it's a rib, it looks like. But yeah, at that speed, it actually manages to penetrate Superman's skin.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you get Zombie Superman.
Of course.
Which is how that series originally was going to end, I guess, before the whole franchise got developed. Because, dear God, Zombie Superman is not pretty.
Well, no.
But yeah, even in that version of things, like, no, he couldn't catch him. He couldn't just stop him. He wished he could have, because it was his friend, after all, but he couldn't.
Yeah. Henry Cooper
mm-hmm.
wants us to rank every season of Arrow from worst to best.
Oh, wow. I need so much prep time.
I don't know that I need that much.
Mm.
Worst to best, we've got 8 seasons until Amell starts doing another one.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm going to say season 6 is the worst.
I can live with that. Although I like some of the characters that came out of it.
Yeah, I like some of the characters, period, throughout all of it. But yeah, season 6 came right. Season 6 tried to be season 5 and just failed miserably.
Mm-hmm.
Then for me, I think it's probably season 2 next. I did not like season 2 very much. No, you know what? I'm going to go...
I think 3.
Yeah, I'm going to go season 6, season 2, season 4, season 3, season 1. Sorry. I'm going to put... Yeah, I might have to write this down as I do it. I'm losing track. I'm losing track. All right, let's figure this out. Really, for real. Let's do this.
All right.
So 6, let's see, 1, 2, 3. So.
Sounds like you have like a whiteboard you're working with.
It's literally a pen and a piece of paper on my desk.
Ah, okay. A lot of bouncing.
I don't know what you're hearing, man.
I just heard a thump, 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 thump.
Okay.
There's a lot going on there. All right, so...
Okay,
mm-hmm.
I've got my ranking.
From
worst to best, it is number season 6, season 2, season 4, season 3, season 8, season 1, season 7, and my favorite is season 5.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm not hating on that. All right, rough take. I'm gonna go with God, worst 4.
Hmm.
Hmm. No. All right. Give me a second to gather my thoughts more. Sorry.
You're good.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
After brief and probably not enough consideration. In order, I'm going to go with 6, 2, 5, 3, 4, 1, 7, 8.
Wow. Okay. There you have it, Henry.
Sure, there's a lot to consider.
Follow-up questions can be sent, too.
Given the given the considerations that we're taking in, yeah.
Like, this could be an entire episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, so just justifying either of those figures? Yeah.
Yeah, because there's a whole bunch of people like, how could you say that number 2 was so bad?
Yeah.
I hated season 2. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I got so tired of that Mirakuru bullshit.
That was a problem for me.
I just didn't like it, man.
That was a problem for me.
Brian Boulay asks, if you could green light a DC HBO Max series or movie, what would you choose? I'm thinking either a Super Sons or Blue and Gold series.
Blue and Gold.
Batfleck Batman.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Okay. Yes. That.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if I'm really just dreaming, yeah, Man of Steel 2 as an entire season. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Sure.
If I'm thinking about stuff that might actually get on television, Blue and Gold, that'd be pretty great. Hell, I think you could just do a lot of good with just Blue.
Yeah.
Like, just Ted Kord, like, just working on his tech and fighting crime would still be something.
Is that a terrible idea?
No, there's just a lot of fun you could have there.
No. I'm not saying your idea was terrible. I just said I had a terrible idea.
Oh, what'd you do?
A prequel to Wonder Woman. A prequel to Wonder Woman from before Steve Trevor shows up to the island. called Wonder Woman, The Love Before. Nice. An adult series exploring the
I feel like you don't romance. Have to finish that sentence. We already kind of kind of get where that's going. I'm not sure that's the branding HBO Max is going for yet. It's more of a Cinemax kind of situation after 11 p.m.
I'm just kidding anyway.
Actually, just for funsies.
That sounds really boring to me, honestly.
I'm going to propose the most boring thing that I could think of. And it's all just a bunch of like how-to videos. So if you did like, what's the most boring thing you could think of making an entire series of with all these characters, even though they're interesting in their own right. And it'd be like farming videos hosted by Wonder Woman or mechanics videos hosted by Hal Jordan. Oh, my God. No, I'm good. I'm good. Leadership conferences hosted by Bruce Wayne. No, I'm good. I'm out. Thank you, though.
Yeah. Bruce gives a TED talk.
Fuck that. What would you also call this, though? The Reporter's Angle by Clark Kent. No, I'm not listening to that TED talk either. I'm good. Or, Chris, actually, you know what? I've overlooked someone. The most boring possible thing. Differences in Blood Types by Barry Allen.
Oh, God.
That may be the worst possible one. Or The AC/DC Wars by Cyborg. No, I'm good.
Just an infomercial selling anti-life insurance from Darkseid.
That wouldn't be from, it'd be from Gottfried.
You're right. You're right.
He wouldn't dirty his hands.
I don't know. Just
counterintelligence techniques by Desaad.
I just saw, Darkseid in like a bad 80s blazer.
Mm-hmm.
Those like Dan Aykroyd glasses from Consumer Probe.
8 Effective Techniques for Running a Women's Prep School by Granny.
Granny goodness.
Just affectionately known as Granny to our peoples.
Yeah. So you want to start a library with Barbara Gordon.
Oh, shit. Wow, we still need the Dewey Decimal System by Barbara Gordon.
Oh, God. The Joys of Coding by Barbara Gordon.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God. All her stuff's really boring on its, like, base level. Really super fun when she, like, is being flashy about it. But, yeah, the nuts and bolts of what she does. Oh.
Keeping Your Wills Clean with Barbara Gordon.
Yeah. With Ford by Bruce Wayne, former Survivor.
Oh, God.
What else? Eight Tips to Cleaning Your Aquarium by Aquaman.
there's a whole series in there about how to clean from Alfred.
Dear God,
polishing the silver.
Actually, those may be the most entertaining because he'd be so mad about why you're doing it wrong and have these like super intricate explanations of why this was like. The Turkish used to do this a certain way when they developed the parts of the Bronze Age that still resonate to this day. And that's why we have a certain way we clean this thing. Okay, great. Also pretty cool, probably, in a way. It's going to be like the least watched masterclass, though, on the app.
I want to see Jim Gordon's masterclass on finagling taxpayer dollars to pay for the bat signal.
Oh, that's pretty good. Oh, you know, I'm leaving out somebody else. One of the top four. Now it has to be odd numbers, right, for listicles, right?
I mean, it doesn't have to be. It's just for some reason.
For some reason, the best.
It does better. It does better. People click on them more.
Top 7 misuses of metallurgy within industrial engineering purposes. John Stewart.
Okay.
It's going to be, but the weird part is going to be like, it's next to an article. It's like 9 things you didn't know about flying test jets by Hal Jordan. And yeah, it's going to, the clicks are through the roof.
Mm-hmm. How to Fix Your AC Unit by Victor Freeze.
Oh, fuck. It's going to be a WikiHow article and it's going to be one of those 21-minute videos with 3 useful things to say taking place over like 45 seconds.
Yeah. It's going to be like really like straightforward, like common sense things.
Yeah, 14 minutes of what are basically going to qualify as an unboxing video.
Right, like take the front of the unit off of the thing, blah, 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 blah. And then like the final step is steal the diamonds.
No, like at 23 minutes and like 32 seconds or some bullshit, somebody like freezes the frame and zooms in the top right. And it's what looks like a glass framing, and there's like the bottom of a foot, and there's a circle and a conspiracy theory, which, you know, spoiler alerts would be right. Oh, God, we've forgotten 11 tips to home gardening by Poison Ivy.
Of course. Yeah. Of course.
Naturally.
Kicking the habit with Bane.
Yeah. 5 things minds are doing wrong by the Joker. The 3 best money-making tips. By Cobblepot.
Yeah. Safety tips with Superman. You know, lift with your flight aura, not your back.
deadlifts are bad. We know that. What you want to do is you want to compress the earth under you instead of lifting up. That's better for your spine.
Mm-hmm.
Better to poke a hole in the freaking asphalt.
Yep. Or motivational speaking with Superman. honing in on your inner Kryptonian.
Mm-hmm. this is after the Bendis period, I assume.
I haven't read the Bendis period. I wouldn't know.
Oh, no, it's after the Clark Kent outing himself.
Mm.
5 ways to your inner Kryptonian, Clark Kent. How 7 I came ways out of the to crystal be successfully married to an alien by Lois Lane.
Sorry, I like that one. I like that one. Coming out of the crystal closet.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that is good. Sorry. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Let's move on.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's time.
Mm-hmm. 11 ways to beat a dead horse.
There should be like some sort of cult survivor TED Talk series from Jean-Paul Valley. When I left the Church of St. Dumas, the Order of St. Dumas.
Yeah, followed by a sequel, relapsing into the Order of St. Dumas.
Finding your true passion. Within the Order of the Saint Dumas.
Episode number 3, from jail. So I fell for Nexium.
Oh, God.
My bad.
It's just that Keith Rainier sounded so much like Saint Dumas. He used to come to me in hallucinatory dreams.
Dude, hi.
Tell me to build sex gauntlets.
All of the images was fairly phallic. I don't know. I fell for it.
I was deceived.
Mm-hmm. At its base, it just promised me that a very smart man was telling me I could have sex a lot, and it seemed like a good idea. Also, they blackmailed me.
What is it, the Jerry Falwell thing? I have sinned.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Balga over on Twitter. Well, I already said it was on Twitter. I'm sorry. Chris Balga says, what characters would you like a DC character and or team to cross over with outside of DC and Marvel? For example, we have had Batman and TMNT, or Star Trek and Green Lanterns. It can be outrageous, or as serious as you want it to be. And what would be the pitch?
Doctor Who all day.
Ooh, really? Doctor Who?
Yep.
Who'd he be crossing over with? Just the entire universe? And which doctor?
The most gratifying thing, you know, honestly, any. Because they all kind of have the same energy to some extent. But just any of them, and if I was really just dreaming, I would say, you know, just full Justice League. Just shows up at the table of the Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
With a little speech about like, oh, you're only a legend on other planets. I can't believe we get to meet you, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then actually what would be a lot of fun is it would be a Doctor Who versus Brainiac episode.
Okay. That could be cool.
That would seem like a very fitting villain for Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm. My pitch or my idea is I tend to go small
mm-hmm.
with my ideas. Like, I really like fun little character pieces. And my thought, as soon as I read the question, was I want to see Constantine and Willoughby Kipling have a run-in with Spike and Angel from the Buffyverse.
Oh, that's pretty sweet, too. Yeah.
Because the whole thing would be like Spike would fall in perfectly with those two.
Yeah.
And Angel would just be pissed the entire time.
Yeah. Like containing his soul, Angel would just be beside himself. Like, oh, these fuckers. What do you do again? Oh, my God. That's going to kill so many people. No, find another fucking way. I know there's always a cost. Fuck your cost, man. Find another way.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that made me think of it immediately is too, is because, you know, Constantine always says magic always has a cost, and friggin' Spike said that. And what was it, season 5 or 6 when they tried to bring Buffy's mom back from the dead?
Yeah. He says it later when he, you know, sacrifices himself, I think, or a version of it. But yeah, he knows that. That's part of the whole thing.
Yeah. So, plus they're, you know, it's just blonde guys hanging around in dusters smoking.
I'm good with that. I really am. Also, I mean, Constantine's a lot of fun for a lot of reasons, but I also just don't mind any version that I, when anytime I see Constantine versus what would be called like a universal monster,
mm-hmm.
like Universal, the company, the classic monster set. Yeah. Fuck yeah, man. I'm into that. Also just like the classic monsters myself. I mean, shit.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. It's a whole canon. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Also I had a secondary thought. And they mm-hmm. sort of have already done it on a credit card commercial, but I would love to see Seinfeld and Superman.
Oh, yeah. I feel like see your best chance for this is in a How It Should Have Ended.
Yeah. Seriously, there was like a Super Bowl commercial, I think, and it was like an animated version of Superman voiced by Patrick Warburton,
mm-hmm.
hanging out and walking around, walking and talking with Jerry. And they had a very like fun, like Seinfeld questioning things about Superman.
Mm-hmm. Who, by the way, is a giant fucking fan.
Yeah. Seinfeld's a huge fan of Superman. And I would love to see a full, like, comedians in cars getting coffee. Where it's just, like, where it's, like, Jerry and, like, Henry Cavill as Superman.
Just somebody in character.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, I don't know, whatever Seinfeld would say.
Yeah.
That seems fun.
So when you do this, you know, what the hell happens if this actually happens? Yeah. I could get that.
So you're here from a parallel dimension. You know, here you're a comic book.
Yeah, I can get behind that. Who's somebody that I think would be a lot of fun for this? Somebody fun. Like, somebody that would be just crazy because they're kind of in between in a way would be, like, a version of Justice League Dark with the Underworld universe.
Hmm.
I do love the Underworld universe. There are some... Like, the films got progressively more complicated and not so much in the what you saw, but, like, they production-wise, it got convoluted and it was weird, man. Like, some of the last couple films, to borrow the phrase from Futurama, escaped. So,
mm-hmm.
I would like to have seen that universe do a little bit more here and there because I enjoyed the shit out of that. You know, the Corvins, the hybrids, all the mythology with that. It was a lot of fun for me because, like mm-hmm. I said, I really do love the old, like, classic monster set.
Yeah.
So to see something like Justice League Dark or even a portion of it, like even just, you know, a new version of, like, Man-Bat with it and, you know, Detective Chimp or, hell, just Swamp Thing wandering in the universe. It would be a lot of fun for me.
Mm-hmm. I can see that.
I don't even know what would happen exactly. I have no pitch for it other than I would like to see the characters in a room.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You might hate me for this one.
No.
Batman Beyond.
Okay.
And The Fifth Element.
Ooh, I don't hate you for that one.
It seems cool, right?
Yeah, that could be a lot of fun. I'm in. Yeah, I'm in. I'm good. Or like Firefly running into the Legion of Superheroes at some point.
Maybe so. I don't think it'd have to be like a parallel dimension convergent situation, but yeah.
Yeah. I'm just thinking most about of space these would shoot be... 'em up versus some of the other stuff.
Yeah. I did think of Kamandi the Last Boy and the 10th Doctor.
Mm. Okay. I so rarely think of Kamandi the Last Boy because I just...
Well, there were a lot of animal people in Tenet's run.
There were. There were. That's actually really true. That's a good point.
That's what made me think of it. It's just like...
You know, I mean...
Yeah, he had a lot of animal people, didn't he?
Now that you've said it, you're right. There were a lot of animal people. Some rhinos up front and so on.
There was an old-fashioned cat who didn't like the idea of lesbians.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That was weird.
That was a weird take on that.
It made me laugh because he kept referring to those old ladies as sisters. And they're like, you know very well we're not sisters. We're lovers. He's like, oh, don't talk like that. I'm an old-fashioned cat.
I forget. Now that you've said it, I remember. Yeah, it was like...
an old-fashioned cat who's married to a human woman and they have a basket of kittens in the back of their car.
I have so many, like, family members that fit for that I think I'd repress that just a little bit. Yeah, I remember now. Mm-hmm. I get you.
Oh, gosh.
That part could be a lot of fun, though. I think that does it for me as far as the crossovers.
Oh, you know, I just thought, though, if they did a Kamandi and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles,
mm-hmm.
that might work.
How?
More giant animal people.
How? Yeah.
Like, you know, Donnie makes some kind of machine and they wind up going into an alternate future where, you know, animal people were all over the place and maybe they didn't want to come back because, damn it, they actually feel like they can go out in public now.
Okay. I can get behind that. Okay. I can deal with that. Yeah. All right. No. You're right. I can deal with that. It's not, I'm not voting for it outright, but I can deal with it.
Well, that's good, man. That's good. You got to keep that mind open.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Got to keep it free and clear, ready to accept new ideas.
I try to stay pliable.
Mm-hmm. I think that was the name of one of those ill-fated bastards in Pilgrim's Progress. Old Pliable.
Old Pliable?
Yeah.
The hell
I think there was... What?
Poor bastard. Old Pliable's story was never all that straightforward.
I don't remember what happened to Pliable.
He became part of an overly blunt allegory, much like the rest of the story.
Ah, Pliable was a neighbor of Christian's who accompanies him for a while. After falling in the Slough of Despond, Pliable is discouraged and returns home, only to be mocked by the townsfolk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Reader's Digest, Dante's Inferno, I guess I'll call that.
You never read Pilgrim's Progress?
Being oh, I raised read
in
it.
The South?
Dear God, I read it. It was on every shelf I visited.
Uh-huh.
It was not a particularly clever piece of work.
No, no. And then, you know, I went to like a Christian school, and man, they thought that was like an epic for the ages, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I remember being scolded because I hadn't read it. So I did.
They hit us hard and early, man, with that in like third grade. Right. We think you're at an age where you can understand the first book of Pilgrim's Progress. Oh.
Yeah. Okay. I get that. Oh, we missed an obvious one.
What's that?
It's Constantine again, but you could pick anybody. Zatanna, actually. You know what? Zatanna and Ghostbusters.
I thought of Ghostbusters and Justice League Dark. I did.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't mention it because I thought it was too vague.
No, but it's, yeah, that's something I could get on board with pretty hard.
Yeah, I could do Ghostbusters in anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything, especially like Zatanna, her father, Constantine.
Dr. Fate.
Actually, Blue Demon. Oh, Dr. Ooh. Fate would be fun. Blue Demon and Dr. Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So a lot of Justice League Dark. And
yeah, that's why I just said Justice League Dark.
Yeah, a lot of fun there. I don't know why I didn't think of Ghostbusters to begin with, but...
Oh, you know what we're missing, right? Just like Dead Man.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, fuck.
Just Spectre, mm-hmm. Dead Man. Like,
yeah, just Dead Man, like, convincing Ghostbusters that he can help and them eventually learning to kind of trust him. A little bit like they did Slimer, but, you know...
Mm.
And that's mostly in the animated series, but whatever.
Yeah, they didn't really have really much of an interaction with Slimer in the movies.
Yeah.
When he slimed Peter.
Yeah. It was a pretty hard interaction for him. But
yeah, sure.
A lot of fun if you had the Ghostbusters run up against, like, Spectre.
Mm-hmm.
Where they just, like, he doesn't even laugh at him. He just kind of, like, smirks at him. Like, no, no. I don't care what you built in your basement, buddy.
Yeah. You remember they had that whole like Night of the Spectre or something. I can't remember what it was called. It was some big crossover event with Shadow Pact and like the Spectre was like gigantic. I think it was part of Final Crisis or Infinite Crisis or one of them. If Spectre just started going nuts or whatever, and then you have Rey reveals that there's a rumored missing page out of Tobin's spirit guide or some shit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about the Spectre, like God's hand of vengeance. I could deal with that all day, yeah, man.
I could work with that.
I could deal with that all day. And you know what, by the way, I don't feel bad for Peter getting slimed. I mean, especially, you know, that version of Peter, not the animated version of Peter. Mm-hmm. That was probably like a Tuesday night for him.
Yeah.
that dude's like tricking college girls into sleeping with him all the time.
Yeah, there's some creepy ass behavior there.
Like Pete Venkman was probably, you know, just living his best life in a snail trail into some girl's dorm room.
Yeah. Yeah. It was not pretty.
He should have been fired.
The funniest part is, like, I thought nothing of it at the time. And looking at it now, I was like, oh, yeah, no, he shouldn't be there.
He's electrocuting one guy, even when he's right, just to make this girl feel more special so he can sleep with her.
Yeah. Like, best case scenario for me, headcanon-wise, is he's actually still logging those results because I think he is a parapsychologist because he at least wants to gather data on the topic. But and I don't know, I think that's in the film. There's a healthy mix of skepticism between the scientists, but still.
Yeah.
That behavior in that lab at that time is just, oh my God. Looking back on it, it's just hard to watch.
Mm-hmm. I like to think that he was running some separate experiment, some separate psychic social experiment.
Oh, that'd be nice. Yeah, if he was running like a reverse pilgrim kind of thing, or a second blind pilgrim kind of thing, where he was like, oh, you know, what if I have the power to make this subject do whatever I want? How do you feel about me now? And logging that, that'd be fine. I don't think so. I think he was just trying to get laid.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. I'm pretty sure that's where
the he deserved to be fired.
Yeah, he should have been fired. It's actually one of the fun things about the 2016 film is when they're finally like, hey, we could use a raise. And the universe is like, I didn't even know you were here. Get the fuck out. Are you kidding me? Yeah. Bye. Holy shit. Why? How did you? Where were you hiding? And then they ran out with all the equipment. And it turns out they've just stolen the equipment. That was actually pretty fun. That was a good bit.
It was. I think we're out, man. I think we got done.
Cool. Let's call it.
All right. Well. You can find every episode at dconscreen.com, theoretically.
Mm-hmm.
But not really right now.
Mm-hmm. Still working on that part. All the new ones,
yeah.
Though.
All the new ones, yeah. And you can find us on, you know, all the podcatchers. You don't need dconscreen.com right now anyway. You can find us everywhere. Even the old stuff. They've actually done a really good job of making the whole backlog available now. Guess a lot of podcasts were annoyed with the whole 300 rule.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to help support the show financially, patreon.com/DC on screen. $1 a month. $1 a month gets you every episode ad free. $5 a month gets you that plus whatever the hell else we decide to put out there, which, you know, sometimes isn't a lot. Sometimes, you know, is an episode.
Mm-hmm. It'll do.
Sometimes you get extra stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, guys, thank you so much. And if you want to help support us and not pay money, just share us, retweet us, tell your friends, tag your friends in our posts. Get them to be like, hey, check this shit out. These guys are awesome. Or whatever lie you want to tell them to get them here.
Naturally. Yeah.
Leaving us a 5-star rating and review or whatever you think is fair.
Yeah, you know, however you want to tell the line. We're on board.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And until next time, keep some DC on your screen. Bye. Later. Bye. I'm David C. Robertson, and this, the Useful Whisker... And this, the Useful Wicker... I can't do it! I'm David C.
And this, the Careless Whisper of...
No. I'm David C. Robertson, and this, the Useful Wicker Basket, who won't help me... God.
Red leather, sorry. Yellow leather. Red leather, yellow leather.
I can't
leather.
Do it. I'm David C. Robertson, and this... I gotta do it all over again. I'm David C. Robertson, and this, the Useful Wicker Basket, who won't help my unsuspecting people of Pompeii, Jason Goss.
Hi.
Our intro music is by Jason Goss and Michael Shackelford. Michael's band, Galactic Engineers of Magnetic Sounds, or GEMS, can be found on SoundCloud and Bandcamp. Visit DCOnScreen.com to find our Patreon, merch, contact information, and every episode of the show for free, including crossovers we've done with other podcasts. DC OnScreen is a maladjusted production. For more from me and Jason, including sketch comedy, vlogs, parodies, and our improvised web series Hey Guy, visit maladjusted.dv.